You're listening to Filling Seats, the State of Enrollment Marketing in Higher Ed, hosted by StudentBridge. In this podcast, you'll learn what's working to grow, shape, and sustain enrollment at colleges and universities directly from fellow enrollment marketers, thought leaders, and ed tech innovators. Listen in for proven strategies to fill seats this cycle and beyond. Welcome to episode 20 of Filling Seats. In this episode, you'll hear from Jay Collier, who is the Director of College Relations at Wayne State College, a small public college in Northeast Nebraska. You'll hear him discuss how Wayne State has increased enrollment and retention through a culture of supporting students, why digital is their most effective marketing channel, and how they were able to increase their enrollment marketing budget to achieve necessary targets. Let's meet Jay.
Out of high school, I was in the military for a while, and then I left the military and worked for a while, and then went to school at Colorado State, got a couple of degrees there in history, early modern Europe specifically, and then went out to California for a PhD program, completed all the coursework. My wife got ill. I needed to get a job. So I ended up in journalism, crazy thing. And then I worked for about 100,000 daily circulation newspaper, and then was recruited by the Los Angeles Times to work for their community news division. So worked for them for some pretty eventful years. The contested election, 9/11, lots of crazy things happened in my time in journalism, and left to go to the dark side, as they called it, to go into public relations with a small private college in Southern California, Pitzer College, and had a great mentor there who convinced me I was where I needed to be, and learned a lot from her about marketing and public relations and those sorts of things. And worked there for a few years, and then, my wife and I had three small kids, and we're like, let's see if we can find a quieter place than Los Angeles to raise our kids. So we ended up here in a town of about 5,000 people in Nebraska at Wayne State College, and I've been here for 16 years now.
Wow, you've had quite an interesting journey.
I have, and I'd say the one thing that served me well through it all has been a great liberal arts education from Colorado State. And I graduated with a lot of hard skills around writing and editing and those sorts of things. And it has, as I said, it has served me quite well in my career.
So tell me a little bit about your current role. And then also, how would you describe Wayne State College?
Here, I'm the Director of College Relations. So I oversee communications and marketing communications for the admissions office. I joke that if it has a Wayne State College logo on it, my office probably had something to do with it. And so I have a great staff of graphic designers and web people and photographer/videographer who do great work for the college. I work in conjunction with president's staff to execute a strategic marketing plan each year that's integrated across campus with our strategic enrollment plan and our overall strategic plan. Have a lot of support for what I do. Wayne State itself, we're a small public regional college, open access, open enrollment. So more than 50% of our students are first-generation low-income students, and I was a first-generation student myself. So the mission of the college aligns with my personal mission and my personal beliefs about the value of higher education. I tell people all the time, hey, I market and I sell education, and I go home and I sleep well at night because of that. It doesn't have side effects. It doesn't depreciate when you drive it off the lot like a new car. It has lasting value, and it changes people's lives and changes their family. Heck, even changes their whole family tree. We are deeply committed to making sure that everyone has a chance for higher education. And then we have about a 75% retention rate, which is crazy high for an open enrollment institution. A lot of great people work here that believe in what we do and that believe in our students, and absolutely fantastic place to work.
And I'm looking at your graduation rate. It's on par with some well-known four-year institutions.
We like to say that Harvard is the Wayne State of the East Coast.
I love that.
No offense to Harvard. It's a very fine school. I actually went there for a week-long crisis communication workshop probably about 8 or 9 years ago.
What is your relationship like with the enrollment folks and the admissions office?
Hand in hand, we do all of their publications. So it's a family of about, I think in total, when you count all the department brochures and everything else that we do for them, probably a family of about 50 publications that we just actually are finishing up updating for the new recruiting year. So we do all of that for them. We do support them throughout the year. I do oversee the creation, production, everything on all of the television and radio and digital advertising that's used to drive recruitment and enrollment. And yeah, we work really closely with them. They use Slate. We partner with a local printer and have everything sitting at the digital files for all the comm flow for admissions sitting with the printer. And then we use Slate. And once a student reaches a certain benchmark within Slate or whatever, that triggers the next publication, the next point of contact between Wayne State and a prospective student.
So you're doing a lot of digital printing, I'm assuming.
Yep. A lot of digital printing, digital press. Everything is digital these days. And it all sits there ready to go and prints on demand as a student moves through our comm flow from either the cold inquiry pieces that we send, like any college, we buy names anywhere from 30 to 50,000 names at the start of a recruitment cycle. And then we do some initial blast out of those. And then once a student has applied and been admitted, then that triggers the second comm flow, which is those pieces that are geared toward yield.
Which channels would you say are most effective?
Oh boy, I'd say out of everything we do, probably digital is the most effective. Digital advertising. So we do a lot of search terms, keywords, behavioral, demographics, you name it. We have a really defined digital campaign. We do television and radio as well. We realize we're also talking to parents and grandparents and teachers and a variety of audiences. But I would think probably the most effective and the biggest bang for the buck that we get would probably come out of the digital side, because we can give them the names and we can do the addressable stuff so that we're matching up addresses for those people who subscribe to a variety of streaming TV services and pumping our ads right into Tubi or Pluto or any number of these, the OTT platforms or whatever. So we do a lot of that.
Are you managing those digital ads in-house, or do you have an agency that helps you out? Because a lot of schools are petrified to even begin that because there's just not that expertise on staff.
So I work closely with an agency too. I do all the defining and everything like that. And then they basically do the placement for me so that I don't have to run around and track down the different digital providers and all of that. Plus they have a really cool analytics platform associated with that. It saves me a lot of trouble from having to build an analytics platform. So the agency can give me really granular look at how things are going on a day to day, week to week, month to month basis.
In terms of budget, I'm not going to ask you to give a number, but a lot of schools, if that's not in the budget, they have to either ask for money or sacrifice something else. So I'm curious, digital ads, is that something that kind of started small and then over time became a larger portion of the budget? How did that shake out?
We knew digital was where we needed to be to reach prospective students. So it's always been a large part of what we do. We had suffered until about 7 years ago. We had the same budget for marketing for about 10 years. And it wasn't working for us. Enrollment was starting to lag a little bit. We were falling behind some competitors. So we had a new president come on board. And one of the first things that she asked me was, what would it take for us to be in all of the places that I think we should be for at least 9 months out of the year, so September through May. And so I wrote a figure down after doing a little research over a couple of days, and then she slid it back across the desk and said, well, that'll be your new budget. And that's where we've been ever since. So it's been really super to have not just the president, but the people on president's staff, so the vice presidents and the deans, to have their support and to have them see the importance of having the right budget to do things the right way, because it's all about frequency and reach. And if you're doing it halfway, you're not going to get the results you're looking for.
We'll be right back.
Want to know exactly how peer institutions are increasing enrollment? Check out three case studies in the show notes featuring three schools who've grown enrollment consistently over the past several years, including a private liberal arts college in Illinois, a small public school in Nebraska, and a large public institution in Georgia. Or visit studentbridge.com/resources to see how other institutions achieve more, like increasing campus tour numbers, engagement, yield, and beyond. What are some recent wins or successes that y'all have seen?
We've grown, our enrollment has grown about 24, 25% in the last 6 years. So that's just a major win for us. With enrollment growth comes obviously increased access to resources that we've been able to use to do everything from facility upgrades on campus to hiring more staff, a variety of things. That's been a huge win for us. Yeah, I would say the enrollment growth for sure.
What are some things that y'all struggle with in terms of marketing?
Having enough people to do everything we want to do, because there's the dual that our office is responsible for, marketing and communications, right? There's the earned media side and there's the paid media side. I wish I had more staff and more time to do more on the earned side, more and news coverage and that sort of thing. We suffer from being a small town way up, distantly removed from the two large cities in the state. So penetrating the media market at times in Omaha and Lincoln, where the influencers are at, has been a challenge. But for the most part, we're looking at another year of growth this year for this fall, but it seems to be stabilizing, and we've reached, I think, we're already outperforming market share. I've looked at that historically over time, but I think that where we're at is the new normal. And so we're just settling into what that looks like to sustain the numbers that we're at, and moving forward, what's the new normal for us, right?
Earlier, when you were talking about retention rates and graduation rates, has that gone hand in hand with the enrollment growth, or has that preceded the enrollment growth?
It's gone hand in hand. We've always had strong retention. And I know that's a product of the culture on campus is one of student first, not an R1 research university or anything like that. We are a teaching college. And so across campus, there's a commitment, a deep commitment to actually ensuring that the students that we asked to step outside of their comfort zone, to take a chance on college, to take a chance on seeing a new path forward for themselves, that we want to make sure once we've brought them here, that we're here for them to help them succeed.
When you think about other institutions and your competitors, what are some things that you think that they're doing a great job with?
Higher ed, over time, it's been interesting to see the changes. I've been in higher ed now for about 20 years, and to see how marketing has changed, to see how personal everything can be. And I think if there's probably one thing competitors that I see them doing a great job with that maybe we could start to do a better job with, that would probably be a level of personalization. We do personalize pieces, obviously, through the marketing communications for the admissions office and the recruitment process, but a deeper personalization. So for instance, I know that I've seen some of the colleges here, some of the competitors, when a student visits your website, the next time they come back, it recognizes them, it remembers them, and it tailors content for them curated content on the website so that they get a unique experience. So I think we could probably do a better job with that. I know that Student Bridge has been an invaluable tool for us in terms of what our competitors are doing. We watched them leverage video content over time, and we didn't have those abilities in-house. And then 4 or 5 years ago, when we hooked up with Student Bridge and built out this platform that allows us to put some really good solid video testimonials in front of prospective students that are their peers, that are current students here, talking about their experiences and talking about the hands-on learning opportunities and some of the other things that are really the hallmark of a Wayne State education, that's been really good for us. And again, that's something I see some of our competitors doing a really good job with.
How do you push traffic to your virtual campus experience?
All of my marketing actually pushes to that portal. The digital ads, if you click on one of those, it takes you to our platform, the ExploreWayneStateCollege.com platform. And then our television and radio all in with learn more at ExploreWayneStateCollege.com. And then we do several pushes about the platform through postcards and some other information and emails that we utilize through Slate in the communication process each year in the recruitment cycle. It's our main landing page. Like, we rely on it for students to land and learn about us more than our main website.
What types of videos do you see students interacting with the most?
We did a series of new videos last year. They were young alumni spotlights. So these were graduates who were either in professional school or working as teachers or in a clinical lab setting or whatever. And those really got a lot of traffic. And with prospective students, they want to know that your graduates are going to be successful, but they also need to see themselves in those people. So we rely on people who had just graduated rather than someone who'd been a banker for 20 years. And they're like, oh my God, I can't even imagine what I'm going to have for breakfast next week, much less see myself that far down the road. So we keep it fresh, keep it young, keep it relevant with them there.
Thinking about other schools, what are some things that you think that they could be doing better?
What could they be doing better? I don't tend to look critically at what others, whether it's our competitors or higher ed in general, are doing. I do think it is about finding the right student for your institution. As much as we try to be all things to all people, we really can't. So I think it's really important to be aware of the kinds of marketing messages you're using, the kind of promises that you're making, your overall brand promise, and making sure that the students you're going after are the kinds of students you're going to be able to yield at the end of the recruitment cycle to bring them for enrollment in the fall. And I think that's one of the reasons too, that over time we've been able to maintain such a high retention rate. And that is, we're constantly evaluating, are we recruiting the right kids? Are we telling them the right things? Are we providing them with the right resources? So I would think that's probably, if there was one critique I would have of what I know locally from our competitors, and that tends to be they cast a really wide net and spend time probably recruiting students who were never going to be their students, or convincing students to come there who probably shouldn't have been there in the first place.
What do you see for the future of higher ed marketing?
Wow, boy, if I could answer that in a crazy cool way, I think I'd jump ship and become a consultant to make a ton of money to be able to forecast the future of higher ed marketing. I think one of the things that we've seen, and one of the things I think that we've all learned over the past 2.5 years, is how do we talk about, in the midst of the things that we talk about in marketing to students, how do we talk about ways that we're here to support them? Because I think that's one of the outgrowths of the pandemic and the stresses that people were under, and whether that's mental stress, psychological stress, physical stress, what have you. So being more cognizant of the story of who we are and why that matters, and what we can do in terms of working with a student on their educational journey, but also letting them know in the midst of this, we're also here for you. We're here to help you develop as a whole person. We're here to provide you with the support resources you may need when things get stressful or when you have financial issues that are impeding your ability to get your classwork done. Any of those things, just explaining how we are more than just a brick building where you come and sit in class. We're actually an organization that cares about your success. And I think articulating that and making that part of the overall marketing message, I think is really important for the future of higher ed. And I think the other challenge for us in the future of higher ed is actually getting back to widespread acceptance of the value of higher education. Mm-hmm. You can't read the media or watch it these days without them having a story about college isn't cool anymore, or college isn't seen as valuable anymore, and those sorts of things. And I think that was really prevalent over the past year or so, when there were just so many people who were so hungry for employees that they were paying people bonuses and bringing them to work, whether they had a degree or not, because they so desperately needed people. And now that the economy is slowing down, I think people are going to see, oh, the pendulum's going to swing again. And Right. Everyone's going to see, I really do need that degree in order to be competitive in the marketplace. Yeah. So I think that's the other side of the coin of on the one hand, we need to be super cognizant of the way that we position ourselves as in supporting students and supporting their passion and all of those other things, while at the same time being champions of higher education itself, and that it does have a value outside of rhetoric around debt and all of these other things. We're super proud of what we do in terms of how we leverage scholarships and how we leverage financial aid. 35% of our students last year graduated with zero student loan debt. And of those students who graduated with debt, it was about, on average, about $18,000.
Wow.
And yeah. So it really is this huge value proposition, right? Now, of course, we labor under, oh, you're the small college in a cornfield and there's nothing to do and blah, blah, blah. Yes, you're right. We are a college in a cornfield, and there is you're not going to have a big music festival to go to or some of those other things like you might have in Omaha or Lincoln, but you're also not going to graduate with $70,000 worth of debt and a host of other issues. Yeah. I think it is that the future of higher ed is repositioning ourselves as valuable and moving past what really makes us awesome is the lazy river and the climbing wall we have, and more what really makes us awesome is the people we have on staff who are here to make sure that you're healthy, whatever that looks like for you as a person, while you pursue this degree and invest in yourself for the future.
What is an app or marketing tool that you could not live without?
We do love the StudentBridge platform, and it is a great tool for us. And to be able to leverage that and have the functionality there and be able to shoot, like next week, I'm shooting a whole bunch of new videos for the site, and it'll be as easy as once those videos are done, I'll work with my rep and she'll get them placed on our site, and boom, we have nice, fresh content to go along with the other videos that we have in our catalog there. And so that's a really great tool for us.
And if you could go back 5 to 10 years and give yourself advice, what would it be?
On the career advice side, I would probably find a way to work in some data analytics studies, like maybe pursue a certificate or maybe even another master's degree around analytics, because every day we have more and more data at our fingertips, but it can be difficult to wade through it and reach meaningful conclusions based on that data. So I think from a career standpoint, there we are. From a life standpoint, it would be take time off so that I don't lose my accrual every year and have more fun.
This is the Filling Seats podcast, hosted by StudentBridge, where we help enrollment teams achieve more by fusing authentic storytelling with industry-leading technology and personalized digital experiences. If you're looking to attract more, amaze more, and achieve more, visit studentbridge.com. To connect with this episode's guest, check out the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. For more information about the podcast or to let us know you'd like to be a guest, visit studentbridge.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.